Hebrews chapter number 1, reading the first two verses. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. From the time that man was plunged into darkness through Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden, God has been trying to reveal himself to men. He has spoken his word through various instruments and in diverse and sundry kinds of ways to all of our ancestors and our fathers, piece by piece and bit by bit, revealing himself to mankind, showing what kind of a God he is, and showing who he is to the man who had broken relationship with him. In the Old Testament, we see that through the man Noah, God spoke to the world of judgment against sin. Through the man Abraham, God spoke of obedience, the importance of it, and the power of faith. Through Jacob, he spoke of intensity of heart and singleness of purpose. Through Joseph, he spoke of suffering. Through Moses, he spoke of the law, and he gave unto man the revelation of that which was holy and that which was profane. And that as far as God was concerned, there's a difference. Through Isaiah, he spoke of the coming of a Savior, that one day one would come who would suffer the pangs of sin and of death for all mankind. Through John the Baptist, the prophet, he spoke of repentance and the necessity of repentance in order to be made right with God. In ages past, God spoke in all of these days to all of our ancestors various times through his prophets. But the apostle says that the final word has in these last days been spoken not to them but to us, not through the prophets but through his Son. And that the revelation of God, the fullness and the maturity in the revelation of God, has now come to the earth through Jesus Christ, not through the prophets. The prophets saw dimly. They had a little bit of the revelation. They had a piece of it, a fragment of it. But it is unto us who are living in these last days that God Almighty has spoken his truth through a living vessel, through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the fullness, is the final, is the perfection of the revelation of God. It is through Jesus, his word and his life, that God has spoken to you and to me and to the entire earth. In John's gospel, we're told in the very familiar verses in John chapter 1 that the word of God was always existent, that the word of God was there from the beginning, but men could not receive the revelation of it. John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Looking down in the 14th verse, we're told that the Word was made flesh. The spoken word of God, the revelation of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John the Baptist bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Now it's important that we see that the revelation that came to men from God through the prophets was an incomplete revelation. It was not an untrue revelation, but it was incomplete. It didn't have the fullness of it. John the apostle says that the law was given through Moses. But when Jesus came to speak the word of God to us, he spoke not of the law, he spoke of grace, and he spoke of truth. He gave a fuller and a more complete understanding of who God is. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter number 12, and let's see how he did this. How he did this. You see, anybody who does not have a knowledge of Jesus Christ, does not have a personal knowledge of Jesus, does not know God. Anybody that does not have a relationship with Jesus does not have a relationship with God. Anybody that does not have an understanding of the words and the life of Jesus does not have an understanding of the words of God and who God is. And see, there are a great many people who are running around today and they're saying all of these things about God, but they know very little about Him because they know not Jesus. God has spoken to us in these last days through His Son. And if you want to know God, you must know Jesus. If you want to know what God thinks, you must know what Jesus thinks. If you want to know what God would do in your present circumstances, you must know what Jesus would do in similar circumstances. And that's why the study of the Gospels is so important to us. Have you ever wondered why there are four Gospels? Have you ever wondered why Matthew and Mark and Luke and John all felt that they must write essentially the same story? Because it's the most important story that's ever been written. It's the revelation of God Almighty through the person of His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's written from different vantage points. John's Gospel, chapter 12, reading in verse number 49 and 50. These are the words of Jesus. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. If you want to know what God said, you must know what Jesus said. Jesus spoke the word of God. He is God's spoken word to us, not just to the people of His day, but also to you and to me. God has spoken to us in these last days by His Son. Now, many people, many well-meaning Christians, because they've never been taught along this line, read the Word of God and they read the words of Jesus and they see Jesus speaking to the people of His day and they say, well, yes, that was for them, but it's not for me. It's not for us. Baloney. God has spoken unto who? Us in these last days through whom? His Son, Jesus. And if God said something through Jesus in the pages of this book, to someone who lived in that day, that same word is true for you. And it's true for me. Because God was not only speaking to that one individual, God was speaking to the whole world through His Son. Do you see that? Do you understand it? Jesus said, I didn't say anything of myself, but I have a commandment from my Father, and He tells me what to say, and I say it. All right, now, that's easy enough for us to understand that the words of Jesus are the words of God. But it's deeper than that. Look with me at John's Gospel, the 5th chapter. This is especially what I want you to see today. John chapter number 5, and reading in verse number 19. And we'll read two or three scriptures here to make this point. I want you to see that not only are the words of Jesus God's word, but also His life and His works are the revelation of God. They are the Word of God. Not just the Word He spoke, but the life that He lived and the works that He did. All of that together is the Word of God. John 5 and verse 19. And then said Jesus, answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. And He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Jesus said, Not only are My words not Mine, they are God's, but My works are not Mine own, they also are God's. He said, The works that I do not do them of Myself. I cannot do them of Myself. The reason I do them is because they are the works of God. If you want to know what God is like, watch Me. If you want to know how God feels, watch Me. If you want a revelation of God, watch Me. So listen to Me and watch Me. Hear My words and observe My works, and you will understand who God is. John's Gospel once again, chapter number 10. John really had a revelation of this. That's why his whole book starts out, In the beginning was the Word. He understood that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, was God's spoken Word to the world. His final Word. John 10, verse number 37. In this chapter, Jesus was having some difficulty he had in the previous chapters with the religious people of his day. And here he is explaining himself. If I do not the works of My Father, believe Me not. If I don't do God's works, then don't believe what I'm saying. But if I do, though you believe not Me, believe the works. If I'm doing the works of God, then even though you don't believe the words I speak, at least believe what your eyes see, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in Me, and I in Him. And of course, we know that they didn't want to believe any of it. Their hearts were so hard that they wouldn't receive the revelation that was coming, and so they plotted against Him and wanted to take Him and wanted to destroy Him. And now turn with me to John 14, and we see in this familiar passage Jesus talking to the man Philip, His disciple. Verse number 7. If ye had known Me, ye should have known My Father also. Jesus said, if you know Me, you know My Father. If you know My Word, and if you know My life, and if you know My works, then you'll also know My Father, because I'm speaking and working for Him. I am the Word of God made flesh. Do you understand what that means? Can you get a hold of that? Also, and from henceforth ye know Him, and have seen Him. Because you've seen Me, He said, you've seen the Father. Verse 8, Philip, not understanding, saith unto Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known Me, Philip? He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of Myself, but the Father that dwelleth in Me, He doeth the works. Believe Me that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me, or else believe Me for the very works' sake. If all you can understand is what you see with your eyes, and feel with your hands, and hear with your ears, if that's all you can comprehend, then at least believe in Me because of what you see and what you feel and what you hear. Back in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, you remember the story that's recorded there, how John the Baptist sent two disciples to Jesus and asked him, are you the man? Are you the one that we've been waiting for? Or should we wait for another? Let's look at the answer Jesus gave him. Matthew chapter number 11. Beginning to read in the first verse. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus said, my testimony is my life. I am the Word in living form. I am the mind of God in flesh that you can see what it causes. If you want to know what God is like, look at me. If you want to know whether God is loving or not, look at me. If you want to know if God is a healer or not, look at me. If you want to know whether God is compassionate and merciful, look at me. If you want to know whether God will forgive you or whether He'll condemn you, look at me. If you want to know whether God has power over circumstances and over habits and over oppression and over the devil, look at me. If you want to know whether God cares whether you have enough to eat or not, look at me. If you want to know whether God loves the little children, the tiny little babies, and whether He cares about them or not, look at me when I suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And as I pick them up in my arms and touch them and bless them, you know what God thinks about little children. If you want to know anything about God, look at me. We must, beloved, begin to see God in the life of Jesus. We've got to see the nature of God in Jesus, because God has spoken to us by Him. And the answers are so clear to most of the questions that we have right here in the gospel record. We look at the life of Jesus. I believe it's imperative for believers and unbelievers alike that we must begin to see ourselves personally in the ministry of Jesus. We must be able to see God speaking to us personally as Jesus speaks to the people. We've got to be able to see Jesus speaking to us. You've got to recognize that Jesus is speaking to you personally when He speaks to the Samaritan woman and He said, if you drink of that water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I shall give you, you will never, ever again be thirsty. We've got to hear God saying that to us. I believe we must begin to hear God speaking to us personally. When Jesus spoke to the woman in John chapter 8 that was taken in the act of adultery, and because of her repentance, He said to her, neither do I condemn you. I believe we need to be able to see God speaking to us personally. When we see Jesus on the cross and speaking and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. I believe we need to be able to see God speaking to us personally. When Jesus spoke in the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Luke to the paralytic man who couldn't move, and He said, man, your sins are forgiven you. I believe we need to see God speaking to us personally. When we hear Jesus, the record about Jesus, as He looked on the rich young ruler, the man who had his life all wrapped up in his wealth, and Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I believe we need to hear God speaking to us personally. When we hear Jesus speaking to the Syrophoenician woman about her child, and He said to her, go thy way, for the devil is gone out of thy daughter. I believe we need to hear God speaking to us personally when we see Jesus speaking to the nobleman in John's Gospel, the 4th chapter, when he said to him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." Do you think God doesn't care when your children are sick? Do you think he doesn't care when your children are oppressed of the devil? Do you think he doesn't care about the things that you care about? We need to hear God speaking to us through the pages of this book as it's recorded the words of Jesus. He is God speaking to you. And he's God speaking to me. Now, if you don't know and if I don't know that God wants our children well, then how are you going to have faith to believe God for the healing and the deliverance of your child? We've got to be able to hear God speaking to us. When we read the words of Jesus as he spoke to the man who had the demonized son. Do you remember that child was possessed with devils ever since he was a little child? The child's mind was gone. And from time to time, the devil would throw him into the water and try to drown him. And then he'd turn around and throw him in the fire and try to burn him up. And the man came to Jesus and said, "I need help with this boy." And Jesus said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible." All things are possible to him that believeth. I think many of us Christians and non-Christians alike have taken the words of this book as a historical account rather than the personal living word of an almighty God to us personally. I believe it's important that we hear God speaking to us personally when we see Jesus in the synagogue speaking to the woman in Luke, the 13th chapter, who had been bound with a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And Jesus looked at her and said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Thou art loosed from thine infirmity. I believe we need to hear God speaking to us personally. When we hear Jesus speaking to the men that were leprous, 10 of them, and he said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. We need to hear Jesus and know that it's God speaking to us when Jesus spoke to the man in the synagogue who had the withered up arm and said, "Stretch forth your arm." And as he stretched it forth, it was restored whole as the other. We need to hear God speaking to us personally when we see Jesus speaking to the woman who had an issue of blood 12 years, had spent all the money that she had on physicians. But she wasn't made any better. As a matter of fact, she was made worse. And when that woman came and touched the hem of his garment, and the issue of her blood was staunched, and Jesus spoke to her and said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go and be whole of thy plague." We need to hear God speaking to us personally when we hear Jesus speaking to the centurion who had a sick servant. Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." We need to hear God speaking to us personally when we see Jesus speaking to the man at the pool at Bethesda who had been impotent and crippled and unable to walk all of his life. And Jesus said to him, "Rise and take up your bed and walk." Now you see, many of us have not listened to the spoken word of God. Many of us have not listened to the revelation that God has given. And therefore we say like this, "Oh, God will never forgive me of that. Oh, I could never get set free from that. Oh, I'll probably be bound with this for the rest of my life. Oh, my kids will never amount to anything. Oh, my child is sick. She'll be sick all the rest of her life. Oh, the doctors say that there's no hope for him. Oh, I don't know if I'll ever make it. If I can just make it to retirement, perhaps the government will take care of me till I die." And we say, "I feel so guilty and I feel so under condemnation because of what I've done. I'll never be set free from it." And we say, "The doctors say that this is a hereditary condition and that it's incurable and I'll have to treat it the rest of my life." We haven't listened to what God said. We haven't heard the word of the Almighty God spoken to us in these last days, right here, right now, at the Water of Life Christian Center on Sunday morning, December the 27th, 1981. God Almighty has spoken to you and he's spoken to me through his Son. What else do we need? It's the last word. Most Christians are waiting for another word. Oh, if God would only speak to my heart. Oh, if God would only tell me about this arthritis, that he was going to heal it. Oh, if God would only give me some assurance about my wayward children. Oh, if God would only, if God would only, if God would only, if God would only. God already has. He's done it through Jesus Christ, his Son. If you want to know what God said, look at Jesus. He is the Word of God, and he is the last word. I can tell you this, you're not ever going to hear a word from God that's different from what Jesus has already spoken. Now, God can speak to your heart and give you the same word, but it's already here. Why wait for God to give you a special word when he's already given it to you right here in the book? It's under the heading Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And when you finish those, go back and read them again. And when you finish those, go back and read them again. Then you go on and read some of the others about what he said to Paul and what he said to some of these other fellows, the apostles. God's word is already spoken. Does God want to forgive sin? Oh, of course he does. He wants to forgive your sin. Is God going to condemn me because of my past life? No, no, no. He said, neither do I condemn you. Don't sin anymore, though. Don't keep doing it. Stop it. Stop it. Quit it right now. Just quit. Be done with it. Does God want your body healed? Oh, praise God, he does. There's not recorded one place in this Bible that Jesus ever turned one man away. Now, there are many records given here where they turned away from him. I remember the rich young ruler in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Jesus offered him the way of salvation, but he preferred his money and he turned and walked away. But the Bible records that when Jesus went about ministering, they brought unto him their sick and he healed all that were in need of healing. He healed all of their sick. He healed every manner of disease, the Bible's over and over and over and over again. I don't know how anybody could miss that was in their right mind. There's not a single person on the face of this earth who wants to get saved that can't get saved. There's not one person on the face of this earth that really wants to have his sins forgiven that can't get them forgiven. There's not a person on the face of this earth that really wants to have their body whole and complete that can't have it complete. There's not a person on this earth that wants to be delivered from oppression and possession and all of the rest of that garbage that the devil has and be delivered from bad habits and so on that can't have it, have the deliverance. You can have it if you want it. It belongs to you. God has already spoken to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be set free from whatever bondage you're in. You know, you can be in religious bondage too, beloved. I know a lot of people that are living under the law, living under the Old Testament law. John said, Moses gave us the law. Jesus gave us grace and truth. He gave us the end of it, the fullness of it. He gave us the good part. He gave us the part that we were able to receive after we'd been properly trained with the law. Let's not go back under that again. And so, what I want to say to you this morning is, if you're here this morning, and I noticed a number of you before we began to teach the Word of God, and a number of you went like this and said, I'm here today and there's a need in my life. I need something from God. Won't you take your answer to? Won't you just take it today? Won't you hear God speaking to you as Jesus spoke to these people as he went about his ministry? Won't you hear the voice of God in your own heart and let faith rise up there to reach out and touch God for what it is that you need today? Would you bow your heads, please? Father, I asked you earlier that you would, after having given me an opportunity to preach the word, that you would confirm your word with signs and wonders following. I see, Father, that this truth is so simple that all of the wise and the noble of this world and so many of the very intelligent and the smart are so smart that they've missed the simple truth. We've been so smart sometimes that we've looked for more when we had it all the time, right in front of our noses. We've expected you to speak to us in a brand new way, as if you'd never spoken on that issue before. And lacked the simple faith to believe what you already said. It's easy for us to see why sometimes you don't speak again, because we haven't believed what you already said, and we probably wouldn't believe what you said again. Teach us, O God, to believe what you've already spoken. I ask you now, Father, to cause the faith that is deposited in us by the hearing of God's word to begin to stir. To begin to stir, to reach you and believe you for forgiveness, for deliverance, for healing, for financial needs met, Lord, for emotional needs, for healing in the physical body and for healing in the mind, for new life within the spirit. Prosperity in our material circumstances. That we may have all we need and a ready abundance to supply the needs of others. Confirm your word, Father, by ministering to your people. Confirm your truth, Lord. Confirm that Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. Confirm that in hearts here today with signs and wonders that people understand. Give revelation, Lord, of this simple truth into the hearts of every person, every single one, the wise and the noble, as well as the simple and the uneducated. We know that your love extends to all. I pray it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want you to stand up, if you will, please. Just stand where you are. And I want each of you to join me in something, but especially those of you that need something from the Lord this morning. I want you to pay special attention today. God's word tells us in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans that if a man would believe in his heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and that he's still alive, and would be willing to confess with his mouth that Jesus Christ was Lord of his life, that he would be saved. That if a man will believe in his heart and then speak with his mouth, he can be saved. Now that same process and that same principle holds true for every other benefit in the kingdom of God. The way you get your sins forgiven is by believing in your heart that what I've said to you today is true and confessing it with your mouth. The way you get born again is by believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is alive today and that he saved you from your sins, and be willing to confess with your mouth that he's the Lord of your life. The way you get healed from your sickness is to believe in your heart that God has already spoken healing to you personally through Jesus Christ, and to confess it with your mouth. The way you get deliverance from your oppressive habits, from evil thoughts, from powerful things that exist in your life that bother you and things that you want to get rid of. Is to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ has already made you free and confess with your mouth your liberty and your freedom. For Paul went on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the way you receive everything from God. And so no matter what it is that you're in need of today, I'm going to give you this opportunity now just to go on and receive it from God. Now, some of you are going to receive here this morning, and some of you probably are not. Now, it's a shame that everybody won't. But it seems to work that way because some of you won't believe that what we're doing has any effect. And some of you won't believe in simple faith that what God said is true and that it'll work. And some of you will go through the motions, and all the while your mind is saying to you, what on earth am I doing? But some of you will take God at his word. Some of you will believe that God has really spoken to you by the life of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to walk out of here different from the way you came in. I want you to lift your right hand before the Lord. Just raise your right hand before the Lord. And if this is the expression of what's in your heart, I want you to repeat this after me. I want you just to say it after me. All right? Dear Father.
Dear Father.
No. Dear Father.
Dear Father.
So you've got to say it with some authority and say it with some energy there. This is not the kind of thing you whisper. Dear Father.
Dear Father.
I believe. That Jesus is your son.
That Jesus is your son.
That he died for me. That you raised him from the dead.
That you raised him from the dead.
That the price of my sin is paid.
That the price of my sin is paid.
That Jesus is today alive.
That Jesus is today alive.
And because he lives.
And because he lives.
So do I also live.
So do I also live.
I believe my sins are forgiven.
I believe my sins are forgiven.
Because of the price he paid.
Because of the price he paid.
I confess Jesus.
I confess Jesus.
As the Lord of my life.
As the Lord of my life.
And with his help.
And with his help.
I'll serve him.
I'll serve him.
All the days of my life.
All the days of my life.
Because I see in the Word.
Because I see in the Word.
That Jesus met every need.
That Jesus met every need.
Of every person.
Of every person.
Who came unto him.
Who came unto him.
I believe that he meets my need.
That he meets my need.
Right now, today.
Right now, today.
Because I come unto him.
Because I come unto him.
I believe that my body is whole.
I believe that my body is whole.
I believe my mind is whole.
I believe my mind is whole.
I believe my circumstances are right.
I believe my circumstances are right.
I walk in prosperity.
I walk in prosperity.
And in power.
And in power.
And in the joy.
Of the Holy Ghost.
I thank you, Father.
I thank you, Father.
That I am delivered today.
I am delivered today.
From every one of Satan's bondages.
From every one of Satan's bondages.
No oppression.
No oppression.
Shall dwell inside me.
Shall dwell inside me.
Nor harass me.
Nor harass me.
I will glorify my God.
I will glorify my God.
In my body.
In my body.
As well as in my spirit.
As well as in my spirit.
And I thank you, Father.
And I thank you, Father.
For doing this work for me.
For doing this work for me.
For speaking to me through Jesus.
For speaking to me through Jesus.
And confirming that word.
And confirming that word.
With these signs.
With these signs.
And these wonders.
And these wonders.
For me personally.
For me personally.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I give you my thanks.
I give you my thanks.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, receive what you've confessed of God and be whole in every area of your life. Let me tell you something about, just briefly, let me tell you something about receiving from God. I learned about receiving from the Lord this way. When I was born again in 1975, and hungry, oh so hungry, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I read this book, and I read the Gospels, and I read the Acts, and I read 1 Corinthians, and I wanted the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I read in there where Jesus, he's the one who baptizes with the Holy Ghost, but I didn't believe it. The reason I know I didn't believe it is because I didn't receive it. And I went everywhere I knew in the city of Atlanta, Georgia, for 9 months, and I had every man of God that I thought had any power in him lay hands on my head to give me the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Do you know what I got? Just a wet hand on my head. I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit all by myself one day back down an old deserted road in my 1974 Datsun station wagon by faith in what God said. Now, if you're here today and you're sick, you see, or you're oppressed, it's no amount of laying on of hands is going to get you delivered if you're not believing God for it. You see, you can receive it just right where you are by believing what God said. That's the highest and the best way. Now, let me say something else to you, beloved. What would you do today if you were living in Poland and your little baby had 104 degree fever, the churches were closed, the streets were closed, the soldiers were on every street corner, there were no telephones, there was no way that you could get out of your house or get anybody to your house, and your child is laying there sick. What are you going to do then if you don't know how to believe God? Now listen to me. Listen to me. You see, it's one thing to have the pastor lay his hand upon your baby and curse that fever and get that thing loose. But Jesus has already spoken to you and said you can do it. Amen. And it's time we learn how to do it. Now see, we've got liberty and we've got freedom to come into the house of God today and to have the elders gather around and to have the oil in the pulpit and to have the word of God preached. But in Poland, they don't. And in other parts of our world, they don't. You see, what would you do if you were living in, again, Poland? And there's no food in the stores. And your children are crying because their bellies are all drawn up with hunger. There's no food to be had. What would you do? What would you do? What would you do? If you're a Christian, you can believe God. But the time to believe God is not when your children are screaming in the back room. The time to learn how to believe God is right now, when the pressure's not on. Now the Bible says that perilous times will come in the last days. I pray we'll never have to go through anything like that. But I believe God would have His people to be prepared. I believe God would have His people to be ready. I believe God would have His people to know how to minister within their own homes and within their own families and within their own neighborhoods. I believe that God would have you in your neighborhood as a source of food, you see, for your neighbors. I believe God would have you to be able to believe a piece of bread to feed a neighborhood. I mean, how are they going to eat? How are they going to eat? Do you know what the people in the, you know what the people in the world are doing today? They're stockpiling food. You know what's going to happen after the, if something ever happens to where that stockpiled food would be needed? The neighbors would kill them for it. I mean, how long do you think it would last? You could stockpile all you want, but how long is it going to last when the neighbors find out you have food and their children are hungry? You see, you're going to share it anyway. And eventually it's going to be gone. Is that right? I mean, it's not going to last forever. You could stockpile 3 years' food. I guarantee it'd be gone in a week and a half if people find out you had it. Probably the first day. And so it's impossible for you to stock enough food. Jesus said, don't lay up your treasures on earth. See, where the thieves will rush in and steal. But store up your treasures in heaven. Learn how to believe God. Learn to know that God has really spoken to us through Jesus Christ. Learn how to lay hands on the sick. Learn how to multiply a roast that'll feed two into one that'll feed five. You know God's doing those things today. I mean, you just talk to some of the women around here and they'll tell you about how God took that little pot of something for me and my husband, and all of a sudden, you know, a bunch of people showed up, put it on a table, seems to be enough to go around. Why is that? Because God already spoke to us through His Son. It's time, beloved, for us to learn how to believe God. It's time for us to learn how to walk in faith. It's time for us to learn how to trust God for our own needs. Yes, we need one another. Yes, we certainly do, to strengthen each other. But we need to know how to touch God ourselves.